Are you wrestling with questions that really matter but just keep coming up empty or perplexed? Well, you've come to the right place. Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff, host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, is committed to equipping you with answers that have stood the test of time. Our aim is to help you mine the Bible for all its wealth, so you can share those riches with a skeptical world still hungry for spiritual truth. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and I love what you just said about mining the Bible for all its wealth. This is precisely why we're going through St. Matthew's Gospel, giving you a little taste of what it is to mine the Scriptures. I've often said we have to memorize Scripture, meditate on Scripture, and then mine the Scriptures. He who goes deepest in that mine gains the most wealth. And this is the most poignant of all riches. Well, we were talking the other day about divorce. And I also, in introducing the broadcast yesterday, talked about Trisden Ausbe. And here is a government official in an EU nation working to help persecuted Christians. There are so many persecuted Christians around the world, more than a quarter billion. And here is a man who is a state secretary for the Aid of Persecuted Christians, the only person with a government title that has the term persecuted Christians in it. And as I said yesterday, all next week we're going to be talking to Trisden as he gives us a perspective on what persecution is like for Christians around the world, and more importantly, what we can do about it. Also, on yesterday's broadcast, we were talking about divorce and remarriage, because in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says, "It has been said that anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce, but I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness causes her to become an adulteress, and anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery." And at the end of the last show, I said a couple of things. I said, here's what we know. And I reeled off a bunch of points, which let me quickly reiterate. We know from what our Lord says that God hates divorce, that what God has joined together, we ought not to separate, that according to Mosaic law, divorce was permitted only because of the hardness of the human heart, that reconciliation and forgiveness should always be foremost in the mind of the believer, and that the best of all worlds is either to remain single or marry only one person for the duration of your life, that divorce is permitted only on the grounds of sexual immorality, desertion, and actions or activities that rise to the level of desertion, and that marriage is a sacrament of the church. And I want to pick it up there. Marriage is a sacrament of the church. As human beings, we're created in the image of the Trinity, and therefore, we're intended for marital unity. God commanded Adam and Eve to be fruitful and to multiply, and therefore, the church considers marriage a sacramental mystery. It's one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given to humankind. Sexual intimacy, let me say something about that. Sexual intimacy within the sacrament of marriage is profound, but it's also mysterious. Intercourse, of course, consummates marriage. And it does so as a multifaceted mystery in which two people are forged together as one flesh. In this mysterious union, a man and a woman procreate children who are fashioned in the image and likeness of their Creator. What an incredible mystery that is. But sexual union is more profound even than that. It's more profound than procreation and paradisical pleasure. It's a mysterious parable of Christ and the church. The union of two people. Well, it's a poignant portrait of the unity of Christ and his bride. The parable of marriage has its roots in Genesis and bears ultimate fruit in Revelation. Human history rooted in the union of Adam and Eve and then yielding its fruit in the wedding supper of the Lamb, which is the full complement of God's people prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Let me add something parenthetically here. In the book of Revelation, you see that theme of bride, a persecuted bride, something we'll be talking about next week on the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Tristan Osbay. But also the church as a prostituted bride, and finally a church as a perfected bride that the bridegroom carries over the threshold of Jordan into a new Jerusalem. So marriage is a mystery that is profound and is a template for an entire book of the Bible, as well as a theme that is returned to over and over again in the pages of sacred scripture. So we're talking about a mystery that we ought to ponder and preserve, because it's a divine metanarrative, a metanarrative transcending our individual marriage narratives. In the mystery of marriage, the husband is the image of Christ, and the wife is the image of the church. Thus, as Christ is sufficient to our every need, a husband is commanded to fulfill the needs of his wife. And the biblical language is nothing short of arresting. You know, the Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." A husband is thus to fulfill his wife in every way, to understand her needs and to fill those needs, to esteem her satisfaction as greater than his own satisfaction, to love his wife. Well, to love his wife is his own body. After all, says Scripture, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does feed and care for the church. A wife, likewise, is to fulfill the needs of her husband, and this in every way, including physical union. Thus, according to the Scriptures, the husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife's body does not belong to her in singularity, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also belongs to his wife. To fail to do this, well, it's called fraud, because one is taking away what belongs to the other. and full view of the mystery of marriage. Well, a marriage replete with its parabolic profundity in Christ and the church, its potential for creating children, or I should say procreating children in the image and likeness of God, and its promise of psychophysical pleasure, we must not so much as consider divorce. When we pick it up, when we return from the break, we're going to talk about oaths. Should we swear an oath? Is that permitted as a Christian? We'll talk about that and much more on the other side of the break as we go to break. Thanks to all of you for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Without you, this ministry would not go forward.
The resurrection of Jesus is constantly under attack. If Christ has not risen, our faith is futile. And a culture critical of our faith well understands that. The physical resurrection of Christ is the incontestable cornerstone of Christianity, making a persuasive, reasoned defense of that event's historicity the essential of all apologetic essentials. Resurrection by Hank Hanegraaff clearly communicates the evidence and implications of the resurrection, and it does so using a memorable method to equip Christians to defend the very fabric of our faith. To receive your copy of Resurrection, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's return to St. Matthew's Gospel. We talked over the last few days about murder, about adultery, about divorce, and what our Lord had to say about these three subjects. And now we move on to what our Lord said about oaths. Our Lord said again, "You've heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths that you have made to the Lord." For then Jesus says this, "But I tell you, don't swear at all, either by heaven, because heaven is God's throne, or by the earth, because the earth is God's footstool," figurative language, of course, "or by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. And don't swear by your head, for you can't even make one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond that, well, that comes from the evil one. That comes from below, as it were." Jesus here, in this portion of Matthew's Gospel, refers back to the Old Testament to underscore, to underscore in red the sober reality that as people of the promise, we must never swear by the name of the Lord in unjust or capricious manner. Why? Well, because to do so is to, dare I say it, to defile the name of God, the sacred name of God. If we make an oath, or we swear under oath, we do so simply to appease a world full of liars. This world is so full of liars. I think never more so than in our epoch, but always so. And because the world is full of liars, we swear oaths to appease the depravity of the world. And as such, even Jesus took an oath before the Sanhedrin. In a world that is ruled by the prince of darkness, oaths are quite simply a necessity. However, for religious leaders and followers of Jesus Christ, oaths should be completely superfluous. Tragic but true, however. For the Pharisees who sat in the seat of Moses, oaths had become quite literally a cottage industry. And that's why Jesus called the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, blind guides. They say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. Think about that for a moment. Jesus takes that sentiment and he calls it foolish and blind. In fact, he points his finger, as it were, and says, "You blind fools." Think about it. Which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? In other words, Jesus has taken their nonsense to its logical conclusion. And then he says, "You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means absolutely nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift on the altar, then he's bound by the oath." What's Christ's rejoinder now? He says, "You blind men, what is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? and therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on the altar. And he who swears by the temple swears by the temple and by him who dwells in the temple. And he who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the very one who sits on that throne. That's precisely what St. Matthew's Gospel chronicles Jesus saying in Matthew 23. So what the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were doing is cunning, pure and simple. I don't know any other way to describe it. It is cunning. And therefore, says our Lord, don't swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it's his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. This should be enough. Don't swear by anything. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. In fact, Jesus actually says, don't swear by your head because you cannot make even one hair white or black. As I said before, simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Beyond that, anything else you say comes from the evil one. And that pretty much sums it up. If you are part of the kingdom of heaven, there's absolutely no need to swear by anything. Simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Be a person of your word. Be trustworthy. Be true. That's the essence of it. Again, it makes sense to take an oath in the city of man. But there is no such need in the city of God, in the church, in the bride that Christ purchased with his own blood. Well, after talking about oaths, our Lord, he takes up the subject that is often quoted and talked about in the Old Testament. It's the subject of an eye for an eye. And here's what our Lord says about that. He says, you have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But let me tell you something. Don't even resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, well, turn to him the left cheek as well. And if someone wants to sue you, if someone wants to, through a lawsuit, take your tunic, let them have your cloak as well. And if someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Now, I'm going to get back to this in the next broadcast, but let me leave you with a story. It's a note that I read in the Orthodox Study Bible that's worth repeating as I end the broadcast today, because it amplifies the point that far from invoking an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth, in accordance with Mosaic law, we, according to the law of Messiah, are not to resist an evil person. Well, the story is of a desert saint who found his hut in process of being looted. And as the looting took place, he knelt and he prayed for the looters. And when the bandits left, the saint realized that they had taken absolutely everything, everything except his walking stick. And so the saint pursued the bandits for many days until he found them. And when he found them, he gave them the walking stick that they had neglected to steal. While witnessing the utter humility of the saint, the bandits were undone. They not only returned his possessions, meager as they were, but by his Christ-like act, converted to the Savior of the saint. We'll pick that up next time on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As we finish Matthew chapter 5, that's coming up next, we'll talk not only about an eye for an eye, but the love that we are to manifest for our enemies. Again, thank you so much for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast as we seek to plumb the depths of Christ's majestic Sermon on the Mount. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The physical resurrection of Christ is the incontestable cornerstone of Christianity, making a persuasive, reasoned defense of that event's historicity the essential of all apologetic essentials. Resurrection by Hank Hanegraaff clearly communicates the evidence and implications of the resurrection, and it does so using a memorable method to equip Christians to defend the very fabric of our faith. To receive your copy of Resurrection, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, "Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now.